Okay.
So before Rosh Hashanah, we spoke about the issue of Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, and I discussed the question that is asked by the Baalei Tosfos and echoed in the Baal HaMor and the Ramban and the Ravid, or at least parts of these questions, and that is regarding the discrepancy between shofar and lulav. And it seems like there's a double discrepancy when it comes to the question of Shabbos for shofar and for lulav. And of course, that discrepancy is highlighted by the fact that every time Rosh Hashanah is Chal Yos B'Shabbos, it's also, you know, the first day of Sukkot is Chal Yos B'Shabbos by definition. So the fact that we treat these two entities, you know, differently is surely significant in some respect as well.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, I don't really want that, but okay, we'll turn off in a minute. But the discrepancies are dual, and they go in opposite directions, as we noted and as Baalei Tosfos noted. On the one hand, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, as we discussed, even Bizman Kviya Diyarcha, at least Bepashts, I mean, some Rishon will think that this is really the reason, that it's always a problem of Yodin and Kviya Diyarcha. But Bepashts of the evidence, notwithstanding the views of the Baal HaMor and Ramban, who, in order to solve some of the problems, one view in Tosfos, but the simple pshat is that Bigvulin, you never blow the shofar on Shabbos, once they made the takana of Shami Avriyana Dalaramas Pishus Arab. And yet, when it comes to Lulav, as we know, the Gemara says explicitly that in Sukkah, that since the first day is a day of Netilas Lulav, Bigvulin, and the Mikdash, says, therefore, in the time of the Mikdash, notwithstanding the Gzeira, they would actually bring the lulav, even Bigvulin, not just in the Mikdash, on Shabbos. So in that respect, there seems to be a huge discrepancy between shofar and lulav, where we go out of our way, ke'ilu, it's more indispensable, right, to do lulav than it is to do shofar. I suggested a different explanation in which the reason that we refrain from shofar b'Shabbos is dafka due to its the urgency of it being done properly, and the idea that it is connected to so many other things, that the risk or the implication of risking violation of Shabbos outweighs internally the benefit of shofar. But the fact of the matter is that the evidence is that we go out of our way to ensure lulav more than shofar. The Gemara, however, does say that from the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash and on, that there was a takana to ensure that shofar would be blown b'makom sheyesh bezdin, not just, you know, b'mikdash. That seems to be, again, establishing, you know, going out of our way, you know, to make sure that shofar is implemented. Whereas the opposite, you know, when it came to lulav, you know, after the Chorban, right, they were koveya, that there was no longer bakina and biki and bikviya diarcha, that even on the first day, and even once it was minag avaseinu biyadeinu, it remained that way, even though it was al pi cheshbon, and they actually knew that they rescinded, you know, the Tilas Lulav on Shabbos. And in addition, there never ever was, you know, some sort of a din that B'makom Bezdin, let's say, you would be allowed to do the mitzvah of Lulav. So in a way, what Baalei Tosfos point out is that they're each each lulav and shofar have a kula and a chumra. And this is one of the things that we spoke about in the context of shofar. But now it's sukkahs. And, you know, I'd like to speak about it from the perspective of lulav and make a different suggestion.
Rebbe, I apologize for interrupting. I believe some people are in the waiting room.
What you're trying to say is you want me to make you co-host again.
I've been waiting the whole time for it.
Okay, you're right. So, okay. I think we should also make Yoni co-host. Kona, you have to agree, I guess. Yoni, you're okay with it?
Unfortunately, if Binyamin were here, I'd say it should go to him for sure. With the board and everything, but I guess because he's in Eretz Yisrael right now, I guess I'll have to take on that responsibility.
Okay, I offered it to you. It had nothing to do with you know Binyamin. Although I do agree that he'd be an excellent candidate, but
that's what I'm saying. Like if he were here, I naturally shift to him.
I would have offered it to you anyway. I would have offered it to you anyway because you know just in your you know it's. You have different kind of credentials. I would offer it to him another time too, but I think this is your night. Okay. So between the two of you, we're taking care of everybody in the waiting room? We're good. Okay. And people can hear? Okay. Now they give me the word. Anyways, so what I'd like to do is suggest a little bit of a different perspective on both of these discrepancies. Or this discrepancy within and this discrepancy without, I mean, the difference between shofar and lulav, as well as bizman hamikdash and post-mikdash. A different mahalach, this time accentuating something very singular about lulav. In order to do that, I just want to zero in on a couple of Rambams in particular. The Rambam in Hilchos Lulav, Perek Zayin, instead of starting from the Gemara, just to go quicker this way, and I want to hear everybody else's Divrei Torah. The Rambam says as follows. Second. The Rambam Perek Zayin, Hilchos Lulav, Halacha Chav Beis, says the following. Second. Let's see, there's actually liquid here. Okay. Ketzal Hayosin, referring to the mitzvah of Chibud Arava, or the mitzvah of Arava in the Mikdash. The Vien also the Erev Shabbos, the Mikdash. Menichin also the Gigi al Shel Zahav. Kedei Shel Yich Meshu Ha'olim. Ulamachar Zogfin also al Gavim Mizbeach. Uboim on below Kamimenu. Venotin also in Kedera Shaosin Bechol Yom. The Rambam is talking about the fact that even the din of Arava was something that they used to do on Shabbos on Hoshana Rabbah. But then the Rambam adds, "V'arava zu hol ve'ena befurish b'Torah, ena befurish b'Torah, ein not lenosa kol shiva yimei achag zeichal mikdash, ela biyom ashvi belvad hu shenot lenosa bezman hazeh." So Rambam is trying to explain why it is that when it comes to the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, that we were told that there's a special din that after the Churban, Zeichel Churban, they're metaken that every day you should bring the Lulav, even the Gvula. This, of course, is Halakha Yud Gimel based on the Mishnah in the Masechet Sukkah. Interesting that he includes Afila B'Shabbos already here, even though he explains later on. Etc. The lama lo gazru zera zubiyom tov rishon b'nei she mitzvah min haTorah afilu b'gvulin nimsa she'ein dino b'din shayam im shabbat she'b'shayim e'achag ein adam chayiv li'tolulav ela b'mikdash. And then we're told, Mishakara Beis HaMikdash, it kinu shiyulul av nital b'kol makom, kol shivasim b'achad zeichal mikdash, b'kol yom b'yom b'varach alav, etc. Asher k'nishanam tosav b'tzivan ol tila sulav, b'pnei shi mitzah b'divrei sofer. So, what's fascinating, then he repeats again, Halacha Tazayin, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayam, Ayilul Nito B'chol Yom Rishon, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, V'chein B'Shar Mekomos, Shigodu B'Vadai Yom Zeh, even in the Gvul. Okay, so what the Rambam is addressing in Halacha Chabbos is why it is that we don't have a parallel, just like they took the Arava every day in the Mikdash, right, and they took the Lulav, you know, for the rest of the days in the Gvulin, I'm sorry, in the Mikdash, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, they were metaking every day the Gvulin. Why weren't they also metaking a Zecher for the Arava? Why did they leave that only for Hoshana Rab? They used to take it every day in the Mikdash. So the Rambam says, the reason is because hold the Enu Mefurish Batorah, Ein Not the Nosom Kol Zayin Yimeachat. So the problem is that the Gemara gives a totally different explanation. The Gemara, and there's a question that the Nosa Kalim all quote, the Magen Mishnah Al-Tar, says right away. He says, I don't understand. Teimani Al-Tam said. If he says, Shalom B'Gemara Ma'ishna Lulav Davdinan Shiva Zeichel Mikdash, Ma'ishna Rav Adelo Avdinan Shiva Zeichel Mikdash. And the Gemara's answer is that Lulav Daraisa Avdinan Shiva Zeichel Mikdash. Arava Drabanan, Lo Avdinan Shiva Zeichel Mikdash. Then the Gemara says, Arava Lav Drabananu, the Shumtan, it's Yochasa Gemiri. The Gemara answers, Ella Lulav Disa Iker Midaraisa Begvulin, Avdinan Shiva Zeichel Mikdash. Arava Delesa Iker Midatora Begvulin, Lo Avdinan Shiva Zecher Lemikdash. So basically, the Gemara in Sukkah on that Sugya, Memdalet Omen Aleph, gives a very clear explanation why it is that there's a difference between Lulav and Arava. Lulav, there's a din of Lukachta Mochem by Yom HaRishon Priyetz Hadar Kapos Tamarim Arbe Nachal, and therefore Yeshla Ikar Begvulin, and therefore they also extended the Mikdash part as well. But Arava doesn't have a Doraisa Bigvulin, and therefore they didn't extend, they didn't make a Takana Zechel Korban, a Zechel Mikdash either. And that in itself is fascinating, but that's not what the Rambam says, seemingly. Rambam says that it's Eino Mafurash Bakra, it's derived Halacha L'Moshe Misina. So that's a question the Magen Mishnah asks. He says, "In Kain Hoyle Rabbeinu Vazkir Kain, the Fishein Araba Ika Klam and Atorah Bigvulin, right? Lo Tiknula." Then he says, "Ulai Hoyle Rabbeinu Girsa Acheres, Bitzarachion." The Lechem Mishnah repeats the question, "Mashatima Araba Magid, Al Rabbeinu Tema Gedolahi, Vinir Diyesh Lahatus Alder Oda Rabbeinu Mikan, Moshe Miach with Sefer Mitzvos." That, you know, the Rambam says in Shorish Beis of Sefer Mitzvos, as we've discussed, the concept of Dibrei Sofrim. So if he thinks, said the Lecha Mishnah, that that means Drabanan, so then there's no difference. The Gemara says it's Minag Nevi'im, you know, but according to the Rambam, it sounds like it's because it's derived, not Mefurish Bakra. That's an interesting other question. So what's going on in the Rambam? So I always thought that there's no different Girsa in the Gemara, as far as I know. We can check out the Diktuke Sofrim. I think I once did. There's no different gears in the Rambam, in the Gemara. The Rambam, as he does in other contexts, reinterpreted the Gemara, understood the Gemara in a certain way. And I think what the Rambam was getting at was not that, you know, something that is Mefurish Bakra is something that you would make a Zecher L'Chorban for, and something which is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai or whatever is something that doesn't deserve a Zeichel Korban, or this particular kind of Zeichel Korban. I think that the Rambam is hinting at what is singular about Lulav that requires such a detailed, you know, practically mimicking Zeicha L'Chorban. Typically, we have other Zeicha L'Chorbans, but a Zeicha L'Chorban where you have a Din D'Oraisa on the first day, and in the Mikdash, you have more days, and then you Zeicha L'Chorban extend to all those other days. That is something that is singular. We don't have that in any other place. The question is that consequential, that singular nature or not? So what I think the Rambam is really getting at is that point. And let me highlight it by what is Mefurish Bakro. This is getting my speculation. The Pasuk itself in Parshas Emor is actually extraordinary when you think about it. Where do you find another Pasuk which seamlessly transitions in the Pasuk itself, right, between Gvulin or Medina, whatever you want to call it, and Mikdash? Right, this is the Pasuk that says, Ulakachtem lechem biyom harishon, right, priyei tzadar kapos tmarim anafei tzavos arvei nachal. And then the Pasuk ends, Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. So in the very same Pasuk, talking about seemingly the very same mitzvah, the Torah speaks about, that's how we understand it in Chazal, right, that's the Torah Sheba'al Peh, that we're not talking about the Mikdash. Only the second half of the Pasuk, Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim, that refers to the Mikdash. The first half of the Pasuk is Bein b'mikdash, Bein b'kol Eretz Yisrael, Bein b'chutz la'aretz, b'kol Moshe l'seichem. So where do we find a Pasuk that has a single mitzvah that is diffused in this way, and in which the pratim also change depending on the venue and the application? Again, I don't offhand know whether there is any other pasuk like it, frankly, where you have this kind of complex, you know, transition. And in a way, this goes to the heart of the Shabbos question, right? When the Gemara wants to explain why it is that lulav would have been taken on Shabbos b'zman ha-mikdash, right? Even bigvulin. So the Gemara says because on the first day, right? It's yeshla ikart. It's obligatory. Bein bigvulin. Right, Bein b'mikdash, and that's what the Rambam faithfully mentions. You know, here, b'lama lo gazru gzeir zu b'yantef rishon b'bneishu mitzvah min haTorah v'afilu b'gvulin nimsa she'ein dino v'din shar hayamim shave she'v'shar yimei achan inadam chayev lita lulav ela b'mikdash. This, of course, is a pretty faithful rendition of what the Gemara says, you know, about this, just that the Rambam is fleshing it out even more. And of course, in the fleshing it out, you know, there's insight. Meaning, one could have thought that, you know, there are two dinim, maybe they're referred to in one pasuk, but they have nothing to do with each other. And indeed, this is certainly a machlokas or rishonim, and it's also a machlokas in Havana, you know, different, you know, Talmid HaChomim have understood this relationship, you know, very, very differently. The Rav Zatzal, for example, just as an example that I'm familiar with, always thought that the din of lulav in the Mikdash and the din of lulav bigvulin are different dinim. One is a din of ulkachtem lachem, the other is a din of usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. And Rav Chaim used to discuss whether the din of mitzvah baba veira, for example, that applies to lulav on Yom Rishon, midaraisa, you know, bekomakom, but would you have such a din also in the mikdash for the other days? Usmachtem b'fnei Hashem elokeichem. Maybe there's not even a chiyuv netila. There's a big discussion among the achronim. In the Rishonim, there's discussions about do you need shalom? And again, they're very suggestive. Do you need lachem you know, every day in the Mikdash? Are the dinim of Hadar, you know, if this is, are they identical, you know, in the 7 days of the Mikdash to what they are on the first day in Medina? If you took a lulav on the first day, you know, chutz min Mikdash, and then you went into the Mikdash, do you do a second netilas lulav or something in that context? There are a whole bunch of issues about the exact relationship between what happens in the Mikdash and what happens in Gvul. And one could understand that a lot of those arguments really revolve around this question, namely whether the Reisha and the Seifa of the Pasuk and Parshas Emor are talking about two completely different dinim, two expressions. I mean, obviously, the fact that it's one, or that the minim are identical, probably not a complete coincidence. There's good reason to think that there is some sort of a, you know, continuity or relationship between the two. But the question is how much? So for example, in minim and mitzvos, just to put it that way, where would you, how would you count, you know, these mitzvahs, right? Would you count them as one or as two? And where would you deal with them if you're writing your own Yad HaChazakah? You would deal with them, you know, in Sefer Zmanim, in Chasulav, or would you deal with them, at least, you know, the Mikdash part, in some other section of the Ramah? Maybe Tmidin or Musafin? I don't know. We could figure it out. So this is an interesting question in general. This phenomenon, in other words, gives rise to interesting questions about the exact relationship between the two. However, in my opinion, certainly for the Rambam, I think it's true for others, for some of the others as well, but certainly for the Rambam, I think the evidence is overwhelmingly compelling that while there are differences between the Mikdash and Gvulin, and they might extend even to things like, you know, the question of Lachem and the question of Hadar and the question of even a double Netila, maybe, certainly Mitzvah Babaveira, etc., that there is, the bigger truth is not the discrepancies, but the continuity. According to the Rambam, the fact that this is all in one pasuk, which is singular, again, maybe defies any analogy. I'm not sure. I'm always hesitant to say that, because maybe there is, you know, I'm not scouring Chumash Chumshei Torah at the moment, but it's not so obvious to me. According to the Rambam, is not a coincidence. Indeed, the Rambam begins the Koteret, the Hilchos Lulav, by discussing, shockingly, I don't think this gets as much attention, you know, as it should. The Rambam says, Litol Lulav B'mikdash Kol Shiva Simei HaChag, which is shocking. He's writing, you know, in Sefer Zmanim, in a presentation. It isn't exactly that way, right? Because the presentation is more pragmatic, as we've discussed. The Koteret, you know, is more abstract. You have to capture everything, you know, like in Sefer Mitzvos, you know, very, you know, succinctly, crystallized fashion. Maybe sometimes, whereas the halachos can diffuse it. So the Rambam here makes it clear, you know, in Perek Zayin, of Hilchos Lulav, after defining the minim, arba minim elam mitzaseh, ma'akvin zeh, mitzvah mukhar, and then finally he gets to the fact that, you know, when do you take all of these? You know, mitzvah sulav lehi notel, this is halacha yom gimel, v'yom rishon shel chag bilvad, b'chol makom b'chol zman, again, afilu b'shabbos, shenemar lekachtem lechem b'yom rishon, u'b'mikdash levado, a double levad, which I think is interesting. No planosam b'chol yom b'yom shivas me'acha shenem arusmachem b'seh Hashem lokechem shivas yamin. So the Rambam pretty much quotes both halves of the pasuk, different psukim. It's interesting that he presents all of this in one halacha, in halacha yud gimel, and the levad. I think is interesting in this respect. And then he has the Chol Yom Shabbos, as I mentioned, which I don't think is a coincidence, etc. Lama lo gazru zu biyanta frishon, shu mitzvah min ha-Torah, filu bigvulin. Nimsa she'in dino v'din sharyam im shaveh, shav sharyam e'achag, ein adam chayiv li talulav ela b'mikdash. So in light of the koteret, you know, even though he does present, he starts off, you know, presenting l'kach temlachem, because that's what applies to most people, or certainly to anybody in the medieval and following period, that's the halakha l'maisa. But even, you know, abstractly, you know, the world has a l'kach temlachem, and the mikdash has, whether mikdash according to the Rambam, but also Yerushalayim, l'smachtem b'fnei Hashem elokeichem. For him in the Koteret, only to mention the more unusual one is shocking, right? So in addition to the question of why is the Rambam even dealing with this here, why doesn't he deal with it and say for, you know, Avoda, you know, it's taking center stage in Zmanim in a fashion that is unusual. And then the explanation about Shabbos, which is based on the Gemara, but it's a little bit more accentuated, is basically declaring the following. You might have thought, right, that there's a din of Yantaf Rishon, which applies all over the world. And then there's a din in the Mikdash, right? But if you're in the Mikdash, there are 7 days of this, so there's nothing unusual about the first day. And that's what the Rambam was telling you is not true. Even from a Mikdash point of view, right, the first day is singular. So that means because there are two dinim on the first day, or it means that the din of the Mikdash itself, right, is refined or redefined by the fact that there is Gevulah. If the Rambam, anybody who thinks that Hailechu Dekoi v'Hailechu Dekoi should have some difficulty with the Gemara. The Rambam goes out of his way to say that even in the Mikdash, which means even from the perspective of the Mikdash, within the Mikdash, the fact that there is Gevulin, Biyom Rishon, right, is relevant. So in a way, the Rambam does two opposite things. On the one hand, in the Koteret, and by integrating Halacha Yud Gimel, he's applying the Mikdash Din, right? The Mikdash Din is relevant to people who live outside of the Mikdash and who only bring the Lulav on the first day. You may only bring it on the first day, but the fact that it's brought, Shivat Yamim, in the Mikdash is still relevant to you. That's one aspect. And indeed, just to support this a little bit further, and this doesn't have to be for the Rambam, I don't know if it's for the Rambam, but the Rishalmi in the fifth parak of Sukkah gives a different explanation than the Bavli as to why it is that we say Hol Hallel every day of Sukkot as opposed to every day of Chag HaMatzos, where we only say, you know, half Hallel aside from, you know, the first day or the first 2 days of the Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara in Erechin, Bavli, says Chalukim B'kor B'noseya. But the Yerushalmi says that the reason that we say Hallel every single day, full Hallel, and Sukkot is because in the Mikdash, every single day they would take the Lulav. That's a good reason to say Hallel, whole Hallel every day in the Mikdash. Is that a good reason also to say it Bigvulet? But if indeed the fact that the seifa of this pasuk is relevant to the resha, and that while there are two halves, it's still integrated, then it is. There are some rishonim who quote the fact that the lulav is brought every day in the mikdash as a source to explain why it is that you don't put on tefillin, for those who hold that way, that you don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. They argue that, you know, the fact that every day in the Mikdash they brought the lulav shows you that even Chol HaMoed, right, is, you know, a time which is, I guess, more of a Mikra Kodesh, you know, and doesn't need the oaths you know, of tefillin. Now, again, aside from the question that that raises about the relationship between Chag HaMatzos and Chag HaSukkos, which is another theme that I believe in strongly, but there might be this difference. That aside, once again, you have this phenomenon of the mikdash with regard to the lulav playing a role that is relevant outside the mikdash. And there are other phenomena like this as well. So if this is the case, so then again, we totally can understand, you know, why it is that, you know, lulav is brought on Shabbos, you know, when you have this fusion of these two things. But let's take it a step further. Maybe this could also, this is speculation, certainly, but let me throw it out there. Maybe this is another reason why lulav is different than shofar. In addition to the reason that I presented when we talked about shofar, in addition to the other reasons that the Rishonim give. And that is because maybe the whole yesod of the Gemara is not just that this is a, you know, pivotal obligation. After all, it's a day, you know, which even in the Mikdash is considered singular because of what happens in the Gevulin. Maybe what the Gemara really means is that the integration of Netilas Lulav B'Gevulin and Shivas Yomim in the Mikdash, that relationship itself is part of what makes Netilas Lulav so singular and unique, and which in turn, as long as Yadina B'Kviya B'Yarcha, as long as you know for certain that this is the right day, allows it to be brought, even, you know, with the risk of Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabin, Shem Yavrinu Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabin. If that's the case, then basically what we're saying is that this whole idea isn't just a facet of Netilas Lulav, and one which has certain consequences, but that this is part of what Netilas Lulav really is. It's about the fusion of the Mikdash and Medina, and one which goes in two directions. It means that what happens in the Mikdash is relevant, Bigvulin, and the more intense expression, Bigvulin itself, is something that is relevant to the Mikdash. And that's where I'll explain what I think this means more fully in just a minute. I think that is a remarkable idea. Now, if that's the case, so let me go back to the question of Chibur Arav. So the Gemara says, how come they didn't make, they made a Zeichel Mikdash for Lulav, and they didn't make a Zeichel Mikdash for Arav? So let's go back to making a Zeichel Mikdash for Lulav first. So, as I say, it's a very remarkable thing, you know, to have all the days of the Mikdash presented and patterned after what takes place in the Gevulin, especially if there are discrepancies between the Mikdash and the Gevulin. But according to what I've just been saying, maybe we can understand that the Zeichel Mikdash, which the Gemara associates with Yeshla Ikar Min HaTorah B'Yom Rishon, right, is not just a standalone technical explanation. But basically what that means is that even the Mikdash recognizes and integrates the first day, and that can happen because that first day is connected with and is expressed in a Mikdash fashion on the other 7 days. In other words, for the same reason that the Rambam, you know, in the Koteret, zeroes in on the 7 days, even in Sefer Zman. So if that's the case, the idea that the Zeichel Mikdash of Lulav will express itself in a very forceful way, you know, with a bracha, with all the, many of the dinim, or, you know, partially mimicking, you know, the first day and partially mimicking the Mikdash, that in itself is very understandable. It also may explain an interesting phenomenon that the Rav used to speak about, but not in this, not exactly in this way. And that is as follows. The Rambam, when he talks about the Perek Ches, the Psulim, the Rambam says, the Rambam has a very radical difference between Yom Rishon and the other days. That in itself is a fascinating phenomenon. He thinks that even things like Yavesh and Mitzvah Bavera are limited to the first day. They don't apply to the other days. The Ravid is not happy about this. It says, Kol Eilu Shamar Nashem Psulim, Bipnei Mumin, Shabiarnu, Umipnei Gezel, Gneva, Biyantav Rishon, Bilvad. Same word, Bilvad. Remember? Avo Biyantav Sheni, Im Shar Hayamim, Hakol Kosher. So what's interesting is two things. Number one, the Rambam's view that there's a discrepancy between the Zecha LeMikdash Lulav, right, and the Yom Rishon. Okay, that I say, I think that can go in either direction. But what's also fascinating is that the Rambam thinks that even Yantav Sheni Shel, what we would call Yantav Sheni Shel Galios, that goes with Zecha LeMikdash, seemingly. It doesn't go with Yantav Rishon. And that is a matter of great controversy in the Rishonim. The Rishonim would say that even if it's true that there's a fall, tremendous, I mean, everybody agrees that there are some differences between Shar Yamim and Yom Rishon, certainly Lachem, you know, and possibly, you know, other dinim as well. Just the Ravid thinks not Yavesh and not Mitzvah Bavera for understandable reasons. But there's this big debate. What about Yantav Sheni Shel Galios? So the Rav has a discussion of this in Kovetz Chidushim Torah and the Negros on Grid. He used to speak about, he said that, you know, he asked his father about this. And there's a tshuva of the Rajba that says that Yantav Sheni, when it comes to Tkiyas Shofar, right, there's no difference between Yantav Rishon and Yantav Sheni. Or whatever the dinim are, they apply. So what's the difference between that and Lulav? There might be other differences, obviously. So in discussing this question, Rav suggests different things. One is that the Rambam here only means from the perspective of the din of Zecha LeMikdash. In other words, maybe there are two dinim on the second day of Yontif. One is Yontif Sheni Shel Galios, and maybe that has the requirements of Yontif Rishon. However, b'di'eved, right, if you have a lulav hagazel or a lulav yavesh, you know, you should still bring it a Yontif Sheni, because even if you don't fulfill Yontif Sheni Shel Galios, there's still, you know, the din of Zecha LeMikdash. Okay, that's an interesting idea. It doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. I think that was one of the things that you know, that he suggested or Moshe suggested. However, the Rav suggested something else, and that was that maybe, typically, Yantav Sheni Shel Galios exists in a vacuum, right? And as such, you know, takes on mostly the requirements of Yantav Rishon. However, when it comes to Lulav, you have this takana, right, to Zecha LeKorban. So since it's a Zecha LeKorban, and Zecha LeKorban already establishes the second day as a din of Lulav, right, so that kind of usurps Yantav Sheni Shel Galios. So I think it's an interesting idea. And then the point would be that, you know, even the Chatrila, you can use, you know, Mumin or Ganav HaGazel, et cetera. It's not that there are two Kiyumim, you fulfill one and you lose the other. But I think this is an interesting idea, but I think it begs the question, like, is that really true? Could the Gezeira, could the Takana of Zecha LeKorban, you know, Likula, you know, nudge out, you know, Yantav Sheni Shel Galios? Fine, it isn't in a vacuum, but should it do that? But I think if we take the view that to begin with, right, the Tilas Lulav, you know, Bigvulin on Yom Rishon is related to Shivat Yomim of the Mikdash, and that's why the Zecher LeKorban here has greater stature as well. So then the idea, you know, that even, you know, can crowd out, that can preclude even requirements of Yantav Sheni Shel Galios, because even Yantav Rishon kind of acknowledges, you know, what's going on in the Mikdash. and therefore the zecher of it too. And that becomes more reasonable. If that is the case, so then going back to what the Rambam says about Arava, maybe we could say the following. Again, the Gemara says they didn't make a zecher lechurban for the Arava. The reason is because there was no yom she'ikaro, you know, doraisa, bigvulin to begin with. And since that, therefore, there was nothing to extend, let's say. Okay, that in itself becomes fascinating in light of everything I'm saying, because what I'm suggesting is that that isn't just a standalone factor. That's a succinct way of putting our finger on something that is very singular about this mitzvah, right? It's integrated yet diffused integrated kiyum, yet diffused application. It's one mitzvah. Presumably, Ram only counts it in Taryag once, right? But a diffused application between the Mikdash and Gvula. So what we're saying is, well, we don't have that, you know, in Arava. But maybe that's the pshat in the Rambam too. Maybe what the Rambam is saying is not that if it had been before Shbakra, it would have a certain stature, and then we'd say Zeichel Mikdash. Since it's only Halacha L'Moshe Misina, which, by the way, isn't even, it's not a drasha, right? Halacha L'Moshe Misina, the Rambam is its own status. But since it's Halacha L'Moshe Misina, therefore we didn't make a, it could be. I mean, there are such, for now, we talked about Chatzi Shir, right, the other day, the idea that, you know, since it's not Mefurish Bakra, therefore maybe there's no Nishba, you know, Lekayim is a mitzvah, there's no Mujba Biomed. There could be other expressions of this. Fine. But what I want to suggest is that maybe this isn't what he means. He means something much more specific. I think what he's saying is, had Arava been Mefurish Bakra in the same Pasuk, right, there's only one pasuk that talks about the taking of the minim b'miktash and b'gvulin. That's a lekachem lechem b'yom rishon priyetz adar kapos tamarim, right? Anaf etzavos ve'arvei nachal usmachtem l'tei Hashem lokechem shivas yamin. So maybe what the Rambam is saying is, if something, if a rava b'miktash had been mefurish bakra, right, and it would have been presented in a way that is parallel to lulav, namely, so then we would have said, well, there's a certain relevance, you know, of the mikdash part to the gvulin part, and then we would have been also amenable to having a zeich al mikdash. But because it's just halacha l'moshe misinai, and it's not connected to that pasuk, there's no evidence that it has anything to do with the gvulin at all. And therefore, there's not a full flat. Maybe there's a little bit of a zeichel mikdash, you know. So we'll stick that on the seventh day, but you're not going to make a bracha for it, and you're not in mevorchen al minag. That's only minag. But the real din is something which would be absent. The yisod of lulav, which is this integration and yet different expression, notwithstanding the integration of the mikdash part and of the gevulim part. That idea is something which doesn't apply to the Arava or to Chibud Arava, at least. Indeed, the Rambam concludes Hilchos Lulav, mentioned this in the past, by saying that Afal Pisha Kala Moados Mitzvah L'Smoach Bahem B'Chaga Sukkos Haisa Shem B'Mikdash Simcha Yaseira. According to the same pasuk, Shenemar Osmachtem Afnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamin. You know, reminding me in the family here, I don't think anybody knows, that you know, when, you know, my daughters made a mural for the you know, for the sukkah, they were going to write b'samachta b'chagecha v'hayisa ach sameach, but I insisted that instead they write usmachta b'fnei Hashem elokeichem like shivas yamin, because it's a very powerful pasuk, and that's what the Rambam is saying here. That kol amodos mitzvah l'smach b'hen, but b'chagas sukkos, the mikdash, who was simcha yaseira, chagas sukkos ha'isa shom b'mikdash simcha yaseira, shenem ro smach v'n t'nei Hashem l'keichem shivas yam. And then, of course, he goes on to talk about simchas b'esa shoeva. So what's fascinating is, of course, number one, that the Bavli connect Simchas Pesach Shaleva to Nisach HaMayim. And you would have thought that all this discussion would be again in Hilchos Tmidin Umusafim. But even though it's B'mikdash, right, the Rambam uses it as the coda to Hilchos Lulav. That's pretty much, you know, how he's concluding. Then he talks about Simcha Shal Mitzvah in general. And the mitzvah, the Simcha Yaseira of Chag HaSukkos B'mikdash spills over B'medina. It reflects the whole Chag. When the Rambam speaks about Simchas Yom Tov in Sefer Mitzvot, I've spoken about this in the past, in Mitzvah Nun Hei, he quotes Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Shitaso, because he thinks that's not just a din in the Mikdash, that's a din in the Simchas HaChag. So the Rambam begins Hilchos Lulav, you know, with the Koteret of the Mikdash, and he also concludes Hilchos Lulav, right, with Simcha Yisera, which characterizes the Chag of Sukkos, and of course the Tilas Lulav, and that Pasuk of the Mikdash. Of course, Sukkos itself has these echoes in a certain way as well. Gemara says that the dimensions of the Sukkah are patterned after the Mikdash. The Rishonim talk about you know, using the sukkah as a kapandaria, or, you know, the dvarim shel bizayon or kavod, like what's appropriate to do in the sukkah, or about davening in the sukkah, right, as a kind of mikdash ma'at status, or doesn't it? The, you know, the Gemaras, the Medrash Halacha, the Sifrei, I believe in Parsha Sra'ei, when it wants to talk about the concept of muktzah shel mitzvah, the very strong formulation comparing the sukkah to the mikdash. So I think that the bigger idea in all of this is the following, and this will conclude. That is that, of course, you know, in the Psukim in Parshas Emor, the Torah speaks about this month, Chodesh HaShvi, is Chodesh HaShvi HaZeh. Right? It starts off with Chodesh HaShvi for Rosh Hashanah, then on Yom Kippur, it's Chodesh HaShvi HaZeh. And then again, when it comes to Sukkos, once again, you have Chodesh HaShvi HaZeh. And the Ramban already makes the Ha'ara in his Perush Al HaTorah that the Torah itself, by saying HaZeh, HaZeh twice, is telling you that it's not a coincidence, right? That that it doesn't happen just to be in the same month, but that these are, you know, connected. That Sorah Mor connects to the Drushim, you know, connect them, the relationship between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Of course, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's obvious, but the relationship between Yom Kippur and Sukkot is obviously less obvious. But I always like to point out that Yom Kippur and Sukkot really represent parallel opposites. They both begin, you know, the second rendition of Sukkot begins with Ach in the same way that, you know, Yom Kippur begins with the word Ach. You can't miss it. You know, Yom Kippur's Mikra Kodesh is singular. It applies to B'Nisan. The second Parsha, which discusses Lulav in particular, and Usmachten, doesn't mention Mikra Kodesh. So they're parallel opposite in every way. It's, you know, one is Kiba Yamazei Chaper Lechem Lechaper Lechem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, right, Lefnei Hashem rather to Taharu. And then you have, you know, Smachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shibas Yamin. You have Ki B'Yom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem, Tamei Mitzvos. You have Leman Yedu Doroseichem, right, Ki B'Sukkos Hoshavti. So Sukkos, in many respects, is an opposite of Yom Kippur. And, of course, they're intended to be looked at and juxtaposed together because they're more parallel. You know, they're parallel through their oppositeness. And the idea in both cases, you know, is, you know, avoda migira and avoda misimcha. But in addition to that, or as part of that, you have the overriding, dominating avodas hakorbanos, avodas yom kippurim, right, on Yom Kippur. You could look at Yom Kippur incorrectly as a kind of a vicarious you know, experience or vicarious atonement, like a spectator sport. You know, the Kohen Gadol, you know, presiding over everything. You know, Ba'am, Ba'azara, they get to do a little Ishtachavoya, you know, and say a little Baruch Shem Kavod Machlasol, Elam Va'ed. You know, but mostly they're observers. The truth is, it's not correct. I mean, the Kohen Gadol, we talked about the Sirah Mishtaleach, one of the things we were trying to point out was, it's the Kapara of Kol Yisrael, and Aaron Smicha Al Shem Kol Yisrael, Lashon Kol Yisrael, isn't Shlichus, unlike the Minchas Chinuch. Probably Shlichus doesn't work in Vidui, but it's a special din, and Aaron was picked, because although he does everything, right, he does it not just as the Shliach, but he does it representing, you know, the corporate interests of Kol Yisrael. But you could look at the Avoda and what takes on the Mikdash as something which is, you know, removed from Kol Yisrael. Although it isn't really at all, as I say, it's a raw mitzuruf to what the best, you know, representative of the corporation, you know, does on that day on behalf of the total of Klal Yisrael, as well as each individual. That's why, again, the Sir Mishnaleach, that's why the Rambam emphasizes that it's Mechapra Kol Yisrael, you know, Al Kol Avonoseya, each person's whole and Klal Yisrael's whole. But the point is that, you know, you could have seen Sukkot then as a holiday, you know, which is like totally unrelated to the Mikdash and the opposite of Yom Kippur. But for it to be a parallel opposite and, you know, for that juxtaposition to be truly significant, you know, they need to illuminate each other. The Avodah Meir and the Avodah Me Ava or Simcha, right, need to be seen as two sides of the same coin, which they really are. That's why I always like to point out that, you know, the last halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you should build your sukkah after Yom Kippur. It's the last halacha in Yom Kippur. And the first halacha in the sukkah, with some technical changes, but still, is that you should build your sukkah right after Yom Kippur. And they're the next, it's one sif away. It's a way of saying that Yom Kippur needs sukkah, sukkah needs Yom Kippur. They feed off each other. That's why they're parallel opposites in the presentation of the Torah. And in the Dinim, one is aimed by Simcha Yisera. That's why there's no Hallel, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, B'Chodesh Hazeh. But in the other, in the end of B'Chodesh Hazeh, you have the Simcha Yisera. The Simcha Yisera is dafka expressed in the Mikdash. And in a way, the dimensions of the Sukkah, the Dinim of the Sukkah, and the Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah of the Sukkah are a way of saying that if you've spent your Yom Kippur properly, and you've integrated, you know, not as a spectator, but as a, you know, an observer slash, you know, participant. That's why the joy wasn't for the Kohen Gadol. The joy was for Klal Yisrael and for the Kohen Gadol. You know, the Yontif Shayu Osin, you know, when he was Shalom Bili Pega. So if you've done that properly, so then you realize that you can export, you know, the Mikdash, in some respects, of course, in an appropriate way, you know, to Medina as well. The dimensions of the sukkah, some of the dinim of the sukkah, leaving your home, you know, for something that highlights a sense of hashgacha and dependence on the Ribbono Shel'olam with the dimensions of a kind of a Mikdash, is a way of establishing, you know, that principle, and therefore the Kapandaria and the, you know, the Muktzah and so on and so forth. And in the second rendition of Sukkot, the Ach part, that's when you have it even more strongly. That's when you have this amazing pasuk that says, "Ulekachtem lachem b'yom arishon," which is b'kol makom, but it's only the first day. But that first day, right, is connected to, and also is the integrated, most prominent expression of Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim, the 7 days of the Mikdash. If you can do that properly, that has dinam of Ritzui and Karban and all sorts of Isru Chag Bavosim Ad Karnos Hamizbeach, the Gemara says in Sukkah, is a reference to taking, you know, lulav, you know, beigudo, and, you know, hadasim ba'avuso, etc. So all of those expressions are ways of saying that the mikdash is the mikdash. That's the acute expression, right? But there are, it's connected to in both directions in a reciprocal manner what goes on bigvulin as well. And that's really, I think, one of the singular, special, really, really, you know, inimitable, you know, aspects of Chag HaSukkos and other mitzvah of Dal Minim, you know, in particular. And it's a way of, it's a kind of a bubble. It's a way of, you know, making your headquarters and your home, you know, a different kind of a place. But it's moving on from and advancing after Yom Kippur. It's also, it's an advancement from Yom Kippur, and also it's the first steps of also a compression and a readjustment, you know, to regular life. That doesn't happen right away. You know, it happens whether you take the mikdash with you in your home or your temporary home, you know, then through Shmini Atzeres, you know, in its aftermath. So it's both of those things at the same time as well. So now I turn it over to all of you for some Divrei Torah. But I just want to wish everybody a good moed. Again, I'm sorry we can't do this in the Sukkah. Yitz Hashem, you know, we'll be able to return to that next year, I hope. Preferably, you know, in the Makom HaMikdash. That would be really wonderful. And if not, celebrating both the Mikdash and the opportunities of Gevulin in a meaningful way. But in the Sukkah, you know, as well as with the Lulav.